and welcome to Small Town Mysteries, a show where three longtime friends from Massachusetts tell crazy and heartbreaking true stories filled with the extra flair of small town mystery. I'm Kate, here with Christine.
Hello.
And Rachel.
Hello.
Bringing you a super duper extra special episode, recapping our first 100 episodes, doing some superlatives, some fan reactions, and really just reflecting on the fact that we've been doing this for almost 2 years. 100 episodes, guys. What's up with that?
I don't know where the time went.
I know. Feels like we just started this.
I really thought we were going to make it to like 20 and then give up. So personally,
it's
I'm impressed.
It's crazy because I can remember us like even talking about like the possibility of this. Time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does. So for this episode, we're not covering a case like we normally would. We wanted to make it a little different and special. So it's going to be a lot of reflection and a lot of discussion of our favorites. Like I said, we'll do some superlatives. Before we get into that, we are going to talk about some listener reactions that we got on our Instagram story at Small Town Mysteries Pod. We asked some questions, got some responses. We're going to run through those real quick, see what you guys think. The first thing that we asked was, what is your favorite episode or case that we covered? And someone said they liked Ellen Ray Greenberg, which I will pat myself on the back for that because that was my episode. But I agree. That was a really cool one. And I can confidently say it doesn't come up in my superlatives at all. We also asked what everyone's favorite spooky episode was. The answer we got there was the episode about a haunting in Connecticut. The question was, what episode made your stomach turn the most? And the answer we got was Utah v. Lafferty. But I agree that case was tough to cover. But once again, so far, didn't highlight any of these in my superlatives, so it's really interesting to me to see how the audience feels about these episodes compared to us. For a few words to describe the podcast, we had fun, as in the banter and the chatter, well-researched and respectful, and someone said, OMG, best podcast ever, and that may or may not be our friend Braylee.
But the other ones were very nice.
But everyone else was very kind. And we asked how long people have been listening to the pod. 75% of people who responded have been listening for several months. 25% have been listening since the beginning, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
Ooh, it's so weird. All right. And then we asked a few more questions. So we asked, true crime case that keeps you up at night. We got some good answers here. One of them is Junko Furuta, which we actually discussed right before we started, that like I have intentionally avoided covering this because it's so gruesome. We got two replies from Madeline McCann. And one person said, Brian Schaefer, Alisa Lamb, JonBenet Ramsey, and Brandon Swanson. And we asked if people preferred unsolved cases or solved cases. 65% of listeners who responded prefer solved cases. You are all my people. 35% like unsolved cases, which is also a fine opinion to have. You're just wrong.
Okay, Kate.
just throwing that out there. We asked what everyone's favorite singer is right now because, you know, obviously. Here are the replies that we got, and we will admit that we don't even know some of these, so maybe we're a little out of the loop musically. Role Model, Chapel Roan, yes. Citizen Soldier, Red Clay Strays. Someone said, is it totally basic to say Taylor Swift? No.
It is basic, but it's acceptable.
It's fine because
it's basic but correct.
Keep listening to this episode. We have a whole... The last question... Like, I'll just spoil it now. The last question we discuss is our favorite song in the Tortured Poets Department. So if it's basic, so be it. Then we're basic. This is a basic podcast. Move on. The fact that we have a podcast and it's true crime, I feel like we do check off several basic boxes with that alone, so we might as well just pile onto it. And then Braylee, our beloved Braylee, said, take a guess, which...
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah, we know her answer is Taylor Swift. We asked people what their favorite thriller was, book or movie, or both. This person said, The Collector by John Fowles, which I have read. Excellent. Highly recommend. Gone Girl. Also excellent. Donato Carisi. Not familiar. We'll have to look it up. And the only one left. I think, Rachel and Christine, you guys read that, right?
Oh, love that book.
It's on my TBR. Maybe I will read that after I finish Iron Flame.
Riley Sager does a good job with the thrillers and plot twists.
Yes. Oh, I didn't realize it was her.
Him. But yes.
Right. Of course. Yes. Our most popular question that we asked was everyone's favorite alcoholic beverage. Here are the responses we got. Rika Vodka, Pinot Noir, Bloody Mary, St. Germain Spritz or an Espresso Martini, Smashes, which we debated whether that was a brand or like a type of cocktail. So if you know, at Small Town Mysteries Pod, educate us.
We're uneducated, apparently.
Yeah, and I'm literally a bartender right now, so I don't know what that says about me, but whatever. And then Braylee said tequila, because she's Braylee, and we love her. Next question we asked was cats or dogs? If you've ever wondered, 38% of our responding listeners prefer cats, 31% prefer dogs, 31% couldn't choose and picked both. But the most important number is that 0% said neither.
That is the greenest flag of our listeners I've ever heard.
Greenest flag.
Love it.
Most unpopular opinion? This one could bring up a discussion. Mustard is better than ketchup.
I agree.
I do not, but I don't dislike mustard. I just think that ketchup goes on more things.
It's more universal.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than like mustard on a hot dog, dude.
I don't like mustard on my hot dogs.
I like both on my hot dog. But if I had to go with one, I would have to go with ketchup on my hot dog instead of just plain mustard and no ketchup. I don't know.
No, I would just go mustard.
Anyway, last question we asked. Night owl or early bird? Early bird won with 54%. Night owl, 46%. What about you guys?
Close. Definitely a night owl.
I was going to say, Christine's a night owl.
I think I'm an early bird. I think I'm like a weird middle.
No. You're an early bird.
Yeah, you are.
I've seen a joke before that was like night owl or early bird, or the third option is like depressed pigeon. And I think that kind of is like my sleep-wake cycle. It's just like I'm tired all the time. I don't like to get up early in the morning. I don't like to stay up late at night. I like to get as much sleep as possible. Depressed pigeon. All right. So that is our fan responses. Thank you for everyone who participated in that. That was so much fun to hear what you guys think about your favorite cases that we've covered and your favorite cases overall that we haven't covered. Maybe we will. And now I think we're going to get into our preferences. So first question, favorite episode overall. My favorite episode overall is the Watcher House episode.
I'm so shocked.
Well, for a few reasons. One of which is that I was familiar with the case already, but you guys weren't. And it was really fun to see you guys react as we went through it. Like, they stayed in the house, you know, like just those like reactions. And I feel like that's half the fun of this style of podcast where like one person's done the research and the other two people don't know the case usually, is to get those like live reactions. And that case was a really great example of that. It was also just like a weird case overall. I felt like our discussion was a little unhinged. But to be fair, the Watcher is a little unhinged. So it fit. And also, once again, no one got hurt.
I'll piggyback off of that one because I did say either Circleville or Watcher, which I feel like they both have similarities there. So yeah. I don't know what that says about it. But Circleville was similar in that, you know, they were mysterious letters that came from this unknown source, and they contained threats of violence. There were booby traps. There was a loaded gun. Someone was killed under mysterious circumstances, so it wasn't totally unharmed, but also could have had nothing to do with the letters. And then Kate talked about the Watcher one. I think that was just good with Rachel and I's reactions, and just the content of the episode was interesting to me. So those are the couple of ones that I feel like that I've like still thought about, I guess.
I definitely feel like the Watcher and the Circleville letters are up there for me too, just because I think we could have a little bit more fun with those episodes, which I feel like we always like. But I went a more serious route.
Oh no.
I said my favorite episode of all time was episode 24, which is Jennifer Schuett, which is a survival story. And like that story just really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And I loved it.
That one was really impactful.
I was thinking about that one too. That was definitely up there for me. And I almost did put it on there for, I think it was like solved case or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like we ended the episode and we were like, it's not even solved, or like,
what else can we say about this? We're speechless, you know? Like, it was like, this is someone who survived something horrific and is using it to, if I recall correctly, didn't she have like a charity of some kind? And she was like using it, leveraging it for the benefit of the community.
Yeah. And talking to other victims too and helping them.
Well, I love those kinds of endings. They're so much more satisfying than like an unsolved ending.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question was favorite true crime episode, which is in comparison to favorite supernatural episode, which is the next question. So I love historical crime. This has come up several times. I love cases from a while ago. So you can kind of see how not only the community impacted the case when it happened, but how the community has embraced the history of the case. And one of my favorite cases with that dynamic was Bella and the Witch Elm. Definitely true crime. Pretty clear that nothing supernatural really happened there. But was just so interesting to write and research based on how long ago it happened. And the way the mythology of that case has survived generations is like some of my favorite content that I've covered.
I picked episode 46, which is How One Woman Stole 5,000 Babies.
That one was one of my favorite titles.
Well, I just also like, it was just not your classic true crime case. And I think that's something I liked so much about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it left me absolutely speechless.
Yeah, it's something I feel like is not recognized.
No.
Like, I had never heard about it. I only knew about it because it was a book I was reading. It was loosely based off of that idea. And then that's when I got into more research on it. But I had no idea about it.
Yeah, I like whenever we sort of deviate from our traditional, the typical definition of true crime as people would expect a true crime podcast to be. I love when we cover cases like that. Next question is favorite supernatural episode. Okay, so I don't know if this one counts as supernatural, but I chose it because I have a hard time believing there's nothing supernatural that went on there. It's just one of the like completely unexplained ones. So I picked the Yuba County Five, which is not like, it's not like a cryptid episode. It wasn't like a haunting episode. So perhaps not what the question necessarily asked for. There was no foul play involved. So I can't really classify it as a crime per se, but the whole episode and the whole case was eerie. There was like, to an extent you could explain it, like they got disoriented. There was the one guy who had a specific mental illness that could have, you know, influenced the rest of them. But the inexplicable nature of this entire case gave off supernatural vibes. Like, people getting lost in the woods always gives off supernatural vibes. The fact that they were found in a cabin that had food, but they haven't eaten it. Like, there's just so much going on there that I can't help but ascribe supernatural pretense to it.
Yeah. Also, the fact that it wasn't just one or two people, it was five whole people, you know,
right.
Like, what could have gone on?
Right.
So weird.
For mine, I did stick to like the very much supernatural vibes. Mm-hmm. So I said either The Vampires of New England or Haunting in Connecticut. The vampires one, I just love vampires. Like, what can I say? I like
so
the whole
fun.
History behind what people back in the day thought, and like the idea that they could think that something as medical and scientific as tuberculosis could be a sign that you were a vampire. I just think that's fascinating. And then obviously like the Haunting in Connecticut ones, I've seen those movies. I like hearing about events that inspired movies, especially movies that you wouldn't really expect would be based on true events. So I enjoyed learning about that one.
Mm-hmm. And on the vampire thing, just before we move on from it, because this is still like one of my favorite like fun facts about New England, is that there are still graves throughout New England with cages over them because people thought they were caging vampires.
That's so, really like, interesting.
That history is so baked into this area that we live in that, like, I just think that's, like, the coolest thing. Yeah, the vampire episodes I always thought were so much fun. All right, Rach, what was your fave?
I definitely have, like, the vampires up there. And then I think my favorite was the Bridgewater Triangle, local folklore, and the paranormal. And really, just because of the Pukwudgies and the strawberry bread.
Yeah, that was a really fun episode. We never made strawberry bread either.
I know, what are we doing?
We never did. Maybe this summer.
I did think about that one. The first thing when I thought of Supernatural, I'm not even going to lie, was Pukwudgies.
Oh, so, look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite unsolved case. This was the last one I answered because I couldn't decide. I answered all the others and went back to this one. I chose Bobby Dunbar.
I think that's a fair one.
Yeah, because it's not solved. Definitely not, because we know he's not a Dunbar by birth, but we don't know who he is. We just know that he, you know, you don't know if he's related to the woman who claimed that was her son or not. There was no genetic testing done there to find that out. We just know he's not a Dunbar. But also the fact that the actual Bobby Dunbar that went missing during that camping trip, no one knows what happened to him. You know, there's multiple mysteries rolled up into one there. So that, I think that one would be my favorite unsolved.
Yeah, I did have that one. I picked three because I personally am a fan of unsolved cases. So I had a really hard time with this one. I did pick Bobby because of all of the reasons that you said. The fact that this kid, like, they were looking for him for months, and then they found this kid that was traveling with these two people, and basically the Dunbars were like, that's our kid, and then he ended up not being their kid and lived out his entire life thinking that he was their kid.
Crazy.
Is crazy. Check Literally that episode crazy. Out if you haven't, because it's crazy. I also listed the Mora case because that is one that I think if you were to ask, like, what case keeps you up at night, it would be that one. It's, like, mm-hmm. so puzzling, and the evidence points in so many different directions that it's, like, you have no idea what's going on or what happened. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, I really enjoyed the Jameson family one that Rachel covered. I think she did a really good job during it. I think it was a really good unsolved case, and I still think about that one a lot.
I do, too.
I think about the dog.
I think about the dog.
Mm. Yeah.
You're right. Again, I couldn't choose. I picked one from each of us.
I love that.
Yeah. So for Christine's, I have Death of Colonel Shu.
Oh, yeah.
Because that I could think about that for my whole life.
That one was weird.
There were so many weird things that went on in that one. So many.
Just so strange. Like,
and so many players in it, too.
Yeah. Ugh. And then for mine, I think it has to be Joshua Maddox, who's the teenager that got stuck. Who was found dead in a chimney.
That one keeps me up at night.
No, I still think about it.
Every time I look at a chimney.
Right? And then I have Kate's Ellen Ray Greenberg's homicide or suicide. Because I honestly find myself thinking about this a lot. Because I personally believe that it was a homicide. We've talked about this. And there's just no way that you could self-inflict those wounds. You can't convince me otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I find myself thinking about that a lot and thinking about, like, how often it happens to other people too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we've covered a couple of cases that are similar where it's like, hey, it seems pretty obvious that this is what happened. But I think that one was the most obvious just in terms of her wounds.
Legally, it had been declared a suicide, but there was no physical way that it could have been. And that one, I also, like, I had a bias towards that one because I paid for a Patreon of, like, a true crime researcher, and he had all, like, the documents. So I saw, like, the autopsy report and the diagrams of where the knives were. And then also someone had made a YouTube video trying to recreate, like, if it was possible to stab yourself in the back of the neck like that. And so that's one of my overall favorites. I actually didn't include it on my list because of, you know, several reasons. But that one, same thing. I think about that a lot. And like Christine said, I think about how many cases have evidence that doesn't necessarily add up, but are just labeled a suicide and not investigated, or pinned on someone who's a convenient suspect and then not investigated further. I think about that a lot because that's just one of the cases we've covered, but sometimes the evidence just doesn't track, you know, like it doesn't make sense. And that's what makes these unsolved cases so frustrating. All right. Now moving on to a better category, Christine. Favorite solved case. I went with Miki Kanasaki here. I thought that was like super satisfying. Not only that they got the husband, but that they got him on like a rare charge. That like they specifically got him on like a killing for financial gain charge, which like isn't commonly used. I think that's super cool, and I love like rarely used legal doctrines when they come into play like that. Obviously atrocious that her own partner would do that to her, her ex-husband, and on obviously such a beautiful trip with their friends and that whole thing, but heavily, heavily, heavily appreciate that he got his comeuppance.
Okay, for this one, I don't know if it's technically all solved, because I do think there might be other victims that they never actually ended up identifying or attributing to these people, but I picked the Bloody Benders.
That's what I picked too.
Really?
Okay, yeah. That one's a classic.
Okay. I just, you know, they were a whole family of serial killers in Kansas in the 1870s. I love a good historical case and throwing it back and just going back to a time period that's so far removed from what we're experiencing right now. So I liked that aspect of it. And then I also just think there is something so psychologically fascinating about a group of serial killers. That is not something that I think I've never heard of. Like, I've heard of maybe two people, right? But a whole family.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rachel did a good job of covering that one. It was really interesting to hear about. So, yeah.
I always think about the Manson family in that regard, because, like, obviously they weren't actually related, but also the argument to be made that they were acting under the direction of a cult leader and not necessarily of their own volition. Like, does that count as a group of serial killers? Would be an interesting subject to cover in a future episode. But that's what I think of when I think of that episode and that, like, idea. And I cannot tell you how many times we've brought this up in episodes, but, like, how does one person with homicidal tendencies find someone else with homicidal tendencies? And how do you broach that subject? That sticks in my mind so much every time we make any of these episodes that have multiple murderers.
Mine was the Bloody Benders. It's literally what I have written down. I don't know what it is. I just had so much fun with that case. And like, I want to do like, I don't know. I need like an old timey axe murder. I see one in our future.
Next question that we answered was our favorite gimmick episodes. That would be like the drinking game episode or the Halloween series. Something that didn't quite fit the mold of what our podcast typically is. So I know that like our listenership on the drinking game episode, which was about the Enfield Monster, it was meh. It was like semi-well received, not our most popular episode, but I still think it was the most fun I've had writing and recording an episode. Gets bonus points for being a cryptid episode, but also primarily for being like a no one really got hurt kind of case. We could kind of joke about it and we got to drink and make fun of ourselves. And like, there's just something fun about that. It's good to let loose when you have such a serious themed podcast to occasionally have an episode where you can kind of let that guard down. I also just really like all of our Halloween episodes. Like I can't really choose between any of them. So I would say overall the Bridgewater Triangle series that we did, that was pretty early on in the life of our podcast within the first 6 months. But we still talk about some of like the specific inside jokes that have come up from that, which I feel like shows that it had a lasting impression. So, I mean, you have the joke about me being obsessed with rocks, which I'm not. And the joke about me being afraid of triangles, which I am definitely not. But these inside jokes are really, like, woven into our friendship now because they were just that memorable in the moment and just really stuck with us. Also, I'm adding in phone calls from the beyond because I just really liked writing that one because it was so unserious.
Yeah, that one was fun.
That was fun.
Those are all good. Yeah, I say like collectively the Bridgewater Triangle. I did put like for episode the Enfield Monster because I think I agree. I liked how much fun we had with it. I also liked how it was like cited as an example of like collective behavior where a group as a whole can be affected by group emotions like panics, hysteria. I tend to like the more psychological episodes and kind of like delving into what people's psyche was at the time mm-hmm. of this all happening, especially from a person who's so logical and doesn't think like that. Like, my first instinct is never to be like, oh, it's the supernatural. It always, I appreciate going to that side and thinking about what people might be, you know, thinking about when they experience these things. Yeah. So I like that one.
I feel like the same way. I feel like Bridgewater Triangle is my favorite. But I also, I think one thing I really liked about the Bridgewater Triangle was that we talked a lot about the history and stuff too, which I just, we all say, we all love the history aspect. So like, I think
totally
including our local history and then also talking about like paranormal and all that stuff on top of it was very yeah. fun for us.
Yeah, I do like the episodes where we're not all aware of like where one person is aware and then the rest of us are kind of in the dark. But I do think that I also enjoy aspects of episodes where we collaborate and work together, like mm-hmm. with the Maura Murray case or the Bridgewater Triangle, because I do feel like it leads to more discussions of, you know, things that we've found, things that mm-hmm. you might not have found. And yeah, I enjoy those episodes too.
Right. And like the diverse perspective, because we all approach things differently and we all write our episodes differently. We all research differently. So when we sort of collaborate on an idea and you get to see those three different ways of research, three different ways of writing kind of work together, I love that too. That's why those series are so much fun. And not to say that we peaked in the first 6 months of this podcast, but Bridgewater Triangle, definitely one of the peaks of this podcast. All right. Favorite case that actually happened in a small town. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that we named it Small Town Mysteries because we believe there is a pretty strong intersection between the demographic makeup of a town, its size, and how a case occurs and is investigated. Have we always stuck to small towns? No, we have not. Not even a little bit. But my favorite case that happened in an actual small town would be Crystal Rogers. We had an episode about the most beautiful small town in America that Christine did. It was Bardstown, Kentucky. And this was just a really interesting episode. The fact that it took place in a small town was really crucial to how the crime occurred and how the investigation went down. And also the fact that no one was really surprised when it ended up being her husband as like the primary suspect, because they had sort of a reputation as a volatile, like antagonistic couple, I think really drives home the impact that we talk about when we talk about the small town aspect of knowing people and knowing their habits and knowing them well enough to know when something changes or is different, how that can lead to a break in the investigation, or in this case, sort of like a cover up. So that was, I really enjoyed that one.
Okay. So this is one I did think about. I didn't pick it, but before I delve into the one that I picked, so this was the main case I was thinking of when I said that there are other cases in which it seems obvious that the husband played a giant role in it, like the Ellen Ray Greenberg mm-hmm. or a significant other, and they just weren't charged with it. I just Googled this case really quickly, and I guess 3 days ago, so there were three men charged with her murder.
Who?
What?
I think one of them is her, or was her husband. Brooks. That was her husband, Brooks. Definitely. Brooks Huck, Joseph Lawson, and Steve Lawson.
Oh, my God.
They're related. Yeah. So they were the three men charged, and they have a 2025 trial that is going to happen. So we'll see wow. if there's any updates with that. But I had to get that out because that's wild.
Yeah, that's very obviously a very recent update.
Yeah. But the one that I did pick for the favorite case that happened in a small town is Sandra Crispo.
Classic.
Why are we the same?
Local. It was our first episode, so maybe that makes it more memorable, yeah. but it's in our hometowns as well. I still occasionally, if I'm driving in Hanson by the Montponson area, still see the signs that are up. Mm-hmm. It happened
constantly.
At this
point. No, I still see them all the time.
Yep. Yeah. In August, it will be 5 years. Mm-hmm. It happened recently in terms of, you know, true crime and what we usually cover in our episodes. And I still don't think it gets the media coverage that it deserves.
No.
Right. Yeah. And I also, with that one, I feel like a lot of people don't know the full extent of it.
No.
They're like, she went missing. And it's like, yeah, well, what about the cash in her mattress? You know, like.
Right.
Or what about the disagreement with her siblings over the family property? You know, like, there's more to it that people don't always seem to know about.
There's so much family stuff in that one. Small town aspects. I feel like it was a good first episode to pick.
Like I said, I picked the same one. I see the signs, I think, every day. I honestly think my neighbors have the signs up.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Every time I walk through the Burridge, I literally think to myself, I said it to Brayley the other day. I was like, Sandra Crispo's buried somewhere here. Like, I'm convinced.
I don't disagree.
And Brayley was like, well, they searched. And I was like, but this is a huge area. Come on.
In covering these cases, we know that people say all the time, like, oh, they searched the area. They did a thorough search, multiple thorough searches. But we know how many times it happens that they do that and then they find something later on. Like, mm-hmm. It's so much harder to do a search than people realize and to, like, get every single area. So I wouldn't be surprised. But it's just so suspicious with everything that went on. And then with the way that she had set up everything with her notes about reminders to do something the next day, and everything was on in her house. Like, the dog was there with no food or water. I mean, suspicious.
Yep. To say the least. All right. Next question. Most stomach-turning episode. I immediately knew which one I wanted to pick when I wrote this question. So in the very, very early days, like within the first 2 months of starting the podcast, I took a week off because I was on vacation and Rachel and Christine did an episode without me. So I don't usually listen to our podcast unless I have a specific reason to do so. But I listened to that episode because I wasn't in it and I wasn't going to cringe the whole time hearing my own voice. And holy cow, I had to skip several times through Rachel's discussion of Jonathan Amaralt. It was gruesome. I'm not going to get into the specifics here. It was an early episode. I want to say it was like episode 12 or something around there.
Episode 8.
Yep. Thank you. I actually gagged a few times and I had to skip ahead. And that was when we started the tradition of warning my mom about like particularly gruesome content. But that also worked really well for me, who also apparently can't fully handle that. So thankfully at this point, like, it was so well covered at the time. But we, I feel like, have found that balance of weaving in the gory details so that it's not like it's not about that. If that makes sense, like that the details are interwoven in a way that emphasizes how horrible the crimes are without lingering for too long on mm-hmm. like the actual depravity of the crimes, if that makes sense. But that was definitely, that's why like it has to be an early one, because we hadn't really fully hit our stride yet in that regard.
Yeah, and we're still learning.
Once we hit our stride and got better at like not focusing on all the gory details, I feel like I can absolutely sit through all of our episodes with no issue, but that one was like, woof. Oops.
Yeah. So
sorry, Rach. It's not an insult. If anything, it's a compliment because you paint a vivid picture.
So mine was an episode I covered, and I literally wrote, I can't believe that I covered this episode because of how disturbing it was.
I know what it is.
Briefly list out like a lot of trigger words. So skip ahead a minute if you don't want to listen. But this was the actual first paragraph of her Wikipedia page, okay? Sylvia Marie Likens was an American abduction, rape, and torture murder victim. She was abducted, neglected, starved, dehydrated, malnourished, combusted, flayed, receded, skin eroded, branded, tormented, choked, bludgeoned, scalded, degraded, sexually humiliated, insulted, circulatory shocked, physically and sexually assaulted, mutilated, raped, tortured, and murdered by her caregiver and eventual abductor, Gertrude Banaszewski, her children, and Banaszewski's acquaintances. She endured 3 weeks of torture before her death.
That was my second choice.
Yeah. Mine were actually both of those. I put both of them for that.
Oh, really? Wow. Are we the same person or what?
I know. Well, that one is just like, the thing is, I know we say it all the time, like, we can't fathom any of this stuff. Like, none of it makes sense to us. But this one in particular is just like so far out there. Like, how does someone even come up with that in the first place? Like, it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That was an early one, too. That was in the 30s. So yeah.
Episode 37.
Not something I think I would do. Or if I did do that episode, I think I would kind of not delve into any sort of detail, but
yeah.
I don't know. I get it. Like, but I still think that it's important to highlight what she went through, but at the same time, she's not her attack.
No.
But at this, but it's important too, because I think sometimes if you don't go into it, like, I do think that kind of takes away with how much, like, she really went through and suffered.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why I don't want to necessarily get into the Junko Furuto case, because I don't know if there's a way that I can talk about what happened there without fully going into the gruesome details and every single nitty-gritty fact. And I'm just not sure how palatable I can make that. And there's an argument to be made that true crime isn't meant to be palatable. You know, like, that people listen to it knowing what they're getting into. But at the same time, I do feel like, as the people writing the scripts, we do have some sort of responsibility to make it, like, digestible. And sometimes that means skipping over cases that are legitimately hard to fathom. Like that. Yeah, I agree. Sylvia Likens is probably not one we want to cover, like, in more recent days, because it is hard to,
especially because she was a child. Like, that's a whole aspect of it.
Yeah. All right. Most heartbreaking episode, I said Eli Hart. We put Preventable in the title for a reason. Really hard case to listen to, because as we talked about in that episode, there's not one single person to blame. It was a failure of the system. Social workers are run ragged with unmanageable caseloads. Kids fall through the cracks. It's the worst kind of case to listen to, because there's several times where you keep thinking of, if that person had responded differently, if that person had noticed that red flag sooner, then this child would be alive. But it's like that systemic failure. Hindsight's 20/20. Everyone who could have changed the outcome did at the time, I guess, what they were supposed to do, you know, like, in the balance of their work, in the balance of their responsibilities, which is what makes that case so heartbreaking.
I feel like I thought about that case a lot after. I'm sure you guys can protest to this too. There's just some cases that you cover that weigh heavier than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I feel like that one.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I personally said it was hard for me to measure this. I think they're all very heartbreaking in their own way. I think I went too logical with this, because my logical brain was like, any episode that we covered that involved someone young or multiple murders.
Yeah.
And so by that logic, I would say the most heartbreaking would be how one woman stole 5,000 babies. Mm-hmm. There were murders throughout that case. There were thousands and thousands of lives that were impacted on that one. And then for me too, how we had just talked about Sylvia, and that was in my mind, I think hers was really heartbreaking, considering she almost escaped in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really made me lose, like, a sizable amount of hope for humanity due to how many people knew about the horrors that she was going through and either ignored or participated in those horrors. I think that really was heartbreaking in terms of humanity just really, really just not being it for me in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing I have written down here is all of Christine's, because every single time she managed to break a different section of my heart. I don't even know how it's possible. And then I have two written down. They have a common theme, which one of them was the Preventable murder of Eli Hart. And the other one was Mothers Who Murder, the Logan Tucker case.
Yep.
So kind of similar. And now one just popped up in my head now that we were just, like, kind of having this conversation. And I think that was the murder of James Byrd, mm-hmm. who was was dragged for being Black and murdered.
That was a really tough one.
The thing is, like, I can honestly say that, like, it sounds kind of crazy, but before I researched that, like, I'm a different person after researching that case.
Yep.
Like, it changed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely understand that. There's definitely cases that I've covered as well where you look at the world differently, knowing that people in the world can behave like that. All right, one case we can't wait to cover within the next year. So we do have a whole Google Doc of cases we want to cover We keep a record of like recommendations, things that we come across in our own research. I also have a folder of screenshots of cases that I've come across that I would like to look into more. One of them I've been really wanting to cover recently is the 1983 axe murder of Susan Hendricks and her children. Unsolved, and I'm not going to spoil anything else, but the reason why I haven't covered it yet is because I really want to read the book about it. And I have not had time to sit down and read the book about it. So sometime in the next year, when I have time to sit down and read the book about this case, you will get an episode about it.
So there are a couple from me. I do want to cover one based on a book that I read. It's similar to the 5,000 baby one with Georgia Tan, but it's another case related to that. So I've been thinking about that one. And then the other one that I have on my list, and I've had it on my list for a while, is the Somerton Man. And he was an unidentified man who was found in a beach in a suburb of Adelaide, Australia. Just a bunch of suspicious stuff going on with that case and so many different theories about what could have happened. He was unidentified for 73 years until 2022. So I think that would be an interesting one to cover.
That would definitely be a cool one.
Over 70 years, like we've covered some cases like that, but it's been like 50 years, not.
It also like, I think why I haven't covered it is it's quite overwhelming, the amount of information. And we've talked about this before, but there's a lot of information on the case. Even the Wikipedia page is like very lengthy. So, but I do, it's my goal to cover that, you know, within the next few months.
Cool.
I like it. All right. One that I cannot wait to cover is the New Bedford serial killer, or like New Bedford highway killer. I know I've said that before. I just haven't got around to it because I know it's going to be like, I just want to make sure I do it justice. Because there's anywhere, I think, from like 9 to 11 victims. So I just want to make sure that I have the time to put in to really highlight every victim.
Yeah. One question I didn't write on here, but I want to ask you guys because I know what the answer is. Old intro or new intro?
New intro.
The new one. If you guys have heard our old, then you would know why we prefer the new one.
I know, like, I had a coworker who asked me about this podcast one time because I, like, mentioned, I was like, yeah, I'm, like, recording a podcast episode tonight. He was like, oh, you have a podcast? And he went and listened to it, and he started from episode one, which I feel like from now on I need to tell people to start at, like, 20. just because of the way we learned how to podcast. And part of that was that our intro, we came up with on the spot. And our original intro was not our best work. And I don't remember at what point we just like kind of looked at each other and we're like, we need to get rid of that. Like, we need to do something better. So we're unanimous on that one.
Look how far we've come, guys.
I know. The evolution is beautiful.
The evolution of small town mysteries before your eyes. Love this for us.
All right, and then our last question, as promised, favorite song on the Tortured Poets Department, because you know we need to talk about this. We had a listening party the day it came out. We listened to the entire album plus the anthology together. We have had several discussions since then. All right, girlies, what's your favorite right now?
I think, okay, I have two.
That's fine.
Like, yeah, I think How Did It End and So Long, London, I think are my tops of the album.
Are you well?
Probably not.
Like, respectfully, are you okay?
You know? Okay, but also, like, if you really listen to her album, like, you could argue that any song would mean you're not well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there, it's a very, it's a little bit depressing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful album, but it's sad.
Oh, gorgeous.
I cannot pick. So I picked the top 13.
No, Christine, that's not.
In no order. It's in album order, but it's a not in order of my favorite. I do think that my favorite perhaps is So Long.
Count.
It's perhaps. Yes, I can. It's 13, okay? I could have done 10, but I had to do 13 because Taylor Swift. So My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, So Long, London, But Daddy, I Love Him, Guilty as Sin, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, I Can Do It with a Broken Heart, The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, The Black Dog, How Did It End, So High School, I Hate It Here, The Prophecy, and The Bolter.
I agree with that list. Yep, you didn't name a single one that I don't like. Well, it's not that to say that I don't like any of them, actually. I don't think there's a song on there I've listened to that I've been like, eh. There's been some one. That I'm like,
there's for me.
More there's inclined to skip.
Yeah, there's at least one for me.
Yeah.
But just because I'm more inclined to skip it doesn't mean I actively dislike it, if that makes sense.
I don't dislike the song Robin.
Me too.
Okay,
I dislike
enough.
It. Yeah.
I also know that
like it, but
the way I listen to albums and like my preferences is very cyclical. So just because I'm like, oh, that one's a skip right now, in 6 months, it's going to be my favorite song.
See, I could say that for everyone except Robin. I know I'm not going to like that in 6 months or 12 months or any amount of months. I'm just not going to like it.
I honestly don't think I've listened to that since we had the listening party, which I feel like says a lot in and of itself.
Yeah.
I chose all of them, which once again, I am a hypocrite for.
Y'all suck.
Well, yeah, what? I didn't actually choose all of them. I just was like, all of them? I can't choose. But currently, my favorite is So High School. I listened to it like on repeat yesterday on my way to work and then on my way back from work too. Just like would hit the end and press like back, 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 replay, replay. But I mean, get back to me in an hour and I'll have a different favorite because they're all so freaking good. I've had it on nonstop since it came out. And I literally just can't choose. She wasn't kidding when she said she put narcotics in her songs.
All her songs, right?
Like she just, that's the best way she could have described it.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, I listen to audiobooks like, a lot.
Yeah.
I have not listened since her album came out.
Yeah, I
like,
either.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm running on borrowed time here because the thing is, I gotta wait for a long time for some of these books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are deciding to play a little game at the end called Who Am I? And so I have a list, but Rachel and Kate do not. And so they don't know the people that they're going to be guessing. And it's going to be like 20 questions except who am I? So who wants to go first? Rachel, Kate.
I'll go first.
Yes.
Okay. That was evil.
Because that sets up a great one for Kate. So... I'm glad with that. Okay. All right. So, Rachel, you have to cover your eyes and mute. Like, put your computer to mute while I say this to Kate, because I want her to be in on it. Okay, Kate, it's Jesus Christ.
Why did I assume we were doing people, like, that we covered on the podcast?
No, there are some, but some of them I just thought would be really funny.
Okay, cool.
So, you have to ask questions, and they can only be yes or no questions, and you have to guess who it is that you are.
Am I a person?
Yes.
My woman.
No.
So I'm a man.
Yes.
Am I still alive?
Mm-mm.
Famously, no.
Famously, no. Was I a murderer?
No.
No. No. Opposite.
Yeah.
Was I murdered?
Yes.
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 Was I murdered in the last 100 years?
No.
No.
Have I been covered on our podcast?
No.
Oh.
I also thought this was going to be people we covered on the podcast, and then I was very confused when I heard who it was, so.
I have a feeling I'm not going to get this. Did we talk about me at all today?
No.
Was I murdered in the U.S.?
No.
Was I murdered in the U.K.?
No.
Was I murdered in Australia?
No.
Guys, I'm bad at geography.
It's not necessarily a geographical question.
It's not a geographical... geography doesn't necessarily play into this.
You gotta think very far back, Rachel.
Very far back?
Yes.
They were murdered.
Can I give a hint that will...
Yes.
Actually, no, that'll give it away. I can't give that hint.
He is kind of relevant to you, but not as relevant as to me or Kate growing up.
It's a good hint.
Is it Hitler?
No.
Rachel!
No!
He was a murderer. We already said he wasn't a murderer.
He's not a murderer.
Oh my god. This is not going as planned.
Okay, I feel like we need another hint.
You're gonna have to look back in history.
Historical figure. It's a historical figure.
A certain number of years.
A president?
No.
No.
A religious figure?
Yes.
Yes.
Was it Jesus?
Yes. Your face when you realized, you're like, oh, come on. Freaking Jesus.
All right. Wait, Kate, this one is for you. So you have to mute us. Let us know when you can't hear. Okay. It's Earl, Kate's cat.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. Ask your questions.
Okay. And it's people, right? It's only people?
It can be people. You gotta ask. Beings.
Person, place, or thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I a person?
No.
Am I a cryptid?
No.
No.
Am I an ethereal being?
No.
No.
Am I an animal?
Yes.
Yes.
Am I a domestic animal?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it my cat?
You got that so fast. It's Earl.
That's the first thing I think of when I think of a domestic animal. A domesticated animal is my cat, Earl.
That's so funny.
Frequent collaborator on the podcast.
Okay.
Wow, I got that quick.
Yeah, you got that very fast. Okay, we'll do
Yeah, and here I am guessing Hitler for Jesus.
You know, it's fine. You got there in the end. That's what matters.
All right, Rachel, it's your turn.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, give it like count to 10 count once to you 10. Can't hear us. It's Rachel. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, fire away.
Am I a person?
Yes.
Yes.
Am I a man or am I a man?
No.
No.
So I'm a woman.
Yes.
Yep.
Am I still alive?
Yes.
Yep.
Am I a politician?
No.
Am I a singer?
No.
No.
Am I famous?
No.
No.
Do I live in the U.S.?
Yes.
Yes.
Does Rachel, as in me, know me?
Well, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Is this person part of our friend group?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it Braylee?
No.
No.
Is it one of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. Do I have blonde hair?
No.
Do I have brown hair?
Yes.
Yes.
Do I have bangs?
No.
Is it me?
Yes.
I was really hoping you would say, am I me at the end? But yeah, it was you.
The question I asked, like, do I know myself?
To thine own self be true.
All right. We got two more, and both of these are more true crime related.
Perfect.
To end on.
Good to know. Okay.
Okay. Kate, can you hear us? Okay. Amelia Earhart.
Got it.
Howdy.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay. Am I a person?
Yes.
Yes.
Am I a murderer?
No.
Am I a victim?
Know of. I guess so, yeah.
You could say that.
Oh, God. Okay. Was I alive in the 1900s?
I think so. One second.
Oh, no. She has to Google it.
I'm like 99% sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Am I still alive?
No.
No.
Well, no. No.
Most likely not.
Very likely not.
Okay. Did I jump out of a plane?
Potentially.
Maybe.
Am I DB Cooper?
No.
No.
Okay. Did I live in the US?
Yes.
Did I live in the southern US?
Yes. At least at one point.
Okay. Did I have children?
No.
No.
I'm asking the deep probing questions that you don't know the answers to.
No. No. It's a solid okay. No.
Was I married?
Yes.
Was my partner a criminal?
Not that I know of.
Was my partner involved in my death and or disappearance?
Not that we know of, no.
Okay. Was I covered on the podcast?
No.
Oh, okay. Was I a woman?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Was I a politician?
No. Not known for that, at least.
Was I an activist?
No.
Girl boss, you were on the right track there.
Yeah, can I give you a hint?
Was I Helen Keller?
No.
No.
But can I give you a hint that I think will help you a lot?
Okay.
You were very close when you talked about jumping out of a plane.
Well, I want to say something about the defenestration of Prague, but that was Prague.
No, so no one was throwing out a window here.
You're not focusing on the right noun in plane? That sentence. Yes.
Amelia Earhart.
Yes.
You got it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, last one.
That one took me a bit, but I got it.
Rachel? Okay. Kate, should we do O.J. Simpson or your dad?
O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
Okay.
Started off like I have this whole time.
My person. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Am I a man?
Yep.
Yep.
Am I currently still alive?
No.
Okay. Am I famous?
Yes.
Yeah. Am I a politician?
No.
No.
Am I a murderer?
Maybe.
Maybe.
No. Technically, no.
Well, technically, no. Legally, no.
Did I recently pass away?
Yes.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Yes. Good job, Rachel. Like,
am I a murderer? And it was like, oh, well, legally, no. Legally, you
the
were not
The second you said
liable.
That, I was like, I know it.
That was a good
You were
one.
Not criminally liable, but you were civilly liable.
Yeah.
And therein lies the distinction. Mm-hmm. That was fun. Right. I liked that.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Other options I had were Ted Bundy, Darth Vader, Gypsy Rose, Harry Potter, and JFK. I threw in the JFK for Kate.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes. Still trying to become a Kennedy. If anyone has his phone number, if you could just hit me up.
Send Kate a text.
At Small Town Mysteries Pod on Instagram. Thank you. Well, this was really fun. I hope you guys all enjoyed listening, hearing us reflect on our past 100 episodes and think about what we're going to be covering in the next 100 episodes, because I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon.
You stuck with us.
Yeah, we're in it for the long haul. So we'll have a new episode for you next week.
If I can focus long enough to write it, not listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, so tune in next week. We'll have some brand new content for you. And we're happy you guys are listening.
We love you guys. Not to be mushy, but I'm a mushy human.
So much.
All right. Well, come spiral with us next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.